One of the most difficult questions after infidelity is not just why did they cheat, but how could the person that I knew do this? You might be looking at someone who was loving towards you, involved with family, respected at work, generous with friends, seemingly guided by strong values. And maybe they openly criticized cheating. Maybe they always described themselves as loyal. Maybe they still came home, asked about your day, helped with the children, made plans for the future, told you they loved you, all while hiding an affair. And that contradiction can feel almost impossible to process. You start to wonder, were all the good parts completely fake? Are they just an insane actor? Am I on the Truman Show? Like, am I living in some type of fake reality? You might also wonder, were they a completely different person? How were they living two lives without collapsing under the weight of what they were doing? And one answer is compartmentalizing. Compartmentalization is the ability to separate conflicting parts of your life or identity so they don't have to interact emotionally with each other. And in some situations, this is actually a really useful tool. A surgeon might be able to temporarily set aside their emotions during an emergency. Like, imagine if a surgeon was unable to compartmentalize having a stressful day outside of this one operation. They would likely make more mistakes. Or think about someone grieving the loss of one of their parents, still being able to go to work, still being able to parent their own children, while also having moments where they are sitting with the pain and it's a lot, it feels overwhelming. But then something clicks and they're able to go and live this seemingly normal life to everybody else. But obviously, compartmentalizing can also become a way of avoiding reality. Someone can place their marriage in one mental compartment, the affair in the other, their values in another, their self-image in another, and as long as those compartments remain far enough away from each other, they never have to really face the contradiction in what they're doing. And they can genuinely start to think, I'm a good spouse while they're at home, and they can think this is just an escape while they're with the affair partner. And they might justify it as saying, well, yeah, I'm still a good person because I'm continuing fulfilling all these other responsibilities in my life. I'm doing these 99 things right. This is one thing I'm doing wrong. Everybody has things they do wrong. But most importantly, they avoid thinking these lines of thought next to each other too closely. They are jumping way from one section to the next. It's kind of like there's no bridge between these. They just get a running start and jump from mode of thinking to mode of thinking. Now, this doesn't mean that they're unaware that the cheating is wrong. Like, they know that. The difficulty is that you might know something is wrong and emotionally not confront it at all. I mean, think of even different things that we purchase. There are a lot of people who, if they were told these shoes or that shirt that you're about to buy were made through slave labor, a lot of people can say intellectually, yeah, I understand that, but I'm not going to emotionally connect with it. I'm going to purchase it anyway. And maybe there is some doubt. Maybe there is some story you can tell yourself to justify it, or you can cast doubt on the source of that information. I'm not saying that it's morally equivalent, purchasing an item that came from that source versus doing something so clearly wrong yourself. I bring that point up to say that it is actually surprisingly easy to become emotionally numb, even when we intellectually know that something is not in line with our values. And when our behavior contradicts our values, we experience psychological discomfort. We don't like it. We don't like to see ourselves as hypocritical or cruel or dishonest or selfish. So we look for ways to preserve a more acceptable image of ourselves. The best thing we can do is to change our behavior. But sometimes it's a lot easier to just change the story. But instead of saying, I'm choosing to betray my partner, which they intellectually do know is happening, what they tell themselves, the story that they choose to repeat between their ears is, my needs have been ignored for years. This is the only thing I have for myself. It's not really an affair because we haven't had sex. It's only physical. It doesn't mean anything. My partner will never find out, so nobody's actually being hurt. I deserve to feel wanted. Our relationship was already broken. I'm only doing this because I'm lonely. This isn't who I really am. I'm going to stop soon. And every time they tell themselves that story, it's like they're pushing those compartments further away from each other. And notice that some of these statements could be true. Like, they could feel lonely. Like, that might just be a fact. Perhaps there were legitimate needs that were not met. But even truths or partial truths can be used to support a false conclusion. And you never really spell out the whole argument. You never spell it out as, I am lonely and I have unmet needs, therefore I deserve to go cheat. But that's what is happening? Like, by stacking those statements, that is what you're doing in your brain, even if you never spell out the conclusion. And that's a big part of what you do when you compartmentalize. You're keeping all these different distinctions and conclusions blurry. You're focusing just on the parts that you're comfortable with. So you think about and replay feeling neglected, but you don't really think about the private conversations that you're having behind your partner's back. Or when you think about the affair, you think about feeling alive, but not really about the deleting messages part. You think about the connection, but not about the lies required to protect it. Those are kind of vague and in the shadows, but you just think about the quote-unquote good things. And you think about what the affair is giving you, but not about what it is removing from your partner. And it's removing significant things, even if, quote-unquote, they were to never find out. It removes informed choice. It removes emotional safety. It removes consent. It removes trust. And it removes the right to understand the relationship and reality that they're actually living in. But by ignoring those things and leaving them in the shadows, this is how someone can continue seeing themselves as fundamentally good while still doing something that is clearly so wrong. And I want to highlight that infidelity is rarely one isolated decision. People often like to use the language of, I made a mistake, but usually it requires many smaller decisions. The decision to continue a conversation, the decision to hide the tone of that conversation, the decision to omit information, the decision to tell a partial truth, the decision to delete evidence, the decision to look at their partner every morning and act as if nothing has changed, the decision to repeat the behavior after the initial guilt's already appeared. Calling the entire pattern a mistake can become another form of compartmentalizing. It compresses a long sequence of events into one vague event and makes it easier to preserve the belief this is not who I am. But our identity is not defined only by the values that we say that we have. It's also revealed by the values that are displayed by our actions. Now, this does not mean that a person who cheats can never be more than their worst behavior. People are capable of growth and accountability and genuine change. I don't believe in the idea of once a cheater, always a cheater. But if you're really trying to just initially throw on the label of this isn't who I am, even while you're doing it, that might sound remorseful, but it's also an escape. Because if the affair is treated as something completely different from one's identity, then they never have to ask what part of them made it possible. What part of your identity allowed you to maintain the deception? What emotional needs in the moment felt more important to you than honesty? What did you believe that you were entitled to? What feelings were you unwilling to face directly? What were you telling yourself each time that you crossed another boundary? These questions are uncomfortable and they can't be completely disconnected from someone's identity and who they are. The way I'd think of it is, to some extent, this is your identity, but your identity can change. We are fundamentally one person. You did this. These choices come from a part of you that you like and parts of you that you don't like, parts of you that you understand, parts of you you don't understand, but it's fundamentally you. And this doesn't have to be tied in with self-hatred. It's not saying that you're irredeemably bad, but you do have to recognize that you are capable of causing harm. You need to make changes. And for the betrayed partner, this ability to compartmentalize can be really confusing to them, because you might look back and remember moments where your partner seemed completely normal. Laughter, hand-holding, saying they loved you, making future plans. And you're left wondering, how could they do that if they knew what they were hiding? And what's disturbing about it, and sometimes comforting, kind of both, is that they may have genuinely been emotionally present with you in those moments. And that doesn't make the deception less serious, but it means that human beings are able at times to hold these contradictory experiences without fully integrating them. And so one of the signs that you need to look for as the betrayed partner is not just emotional connection and not just honesty and transparency, but also wholeness. How much is my partner living an integrated life? Are they shape-shifting around different people, or are they fully themselves wherever they are? And that can be somewhat vague. That can be somewhat difficult to tie down to specific behaviors. But if you notice that they are just acting like themselves all the time, regardless of who's around, regardless of what other people think about them, that is a good sign. Because the more integrated someone is, the harder it is for them to do this compartmentalizing. But on the other hand, if you notice that they still are very much separating things out, putting on one hat around one group of people, another hat around others, acting totally different around certain friend groups versus coworkers versus this and that. Like, there'll be certain elements that are normal, but if you notice that it still feels like a big shift, I would not feel comfortable trusting that person, especially after what they've done.